Thank you for the introduction. I'd also like to thank my co-authors who aren't here, and my master's advisor, Dr. Marnie Isaac at the University of Toronto. We're an agroforestry lab, but for me, my test species was soybeans, so I learned a lot more about soybeans than I did trees, and I'm very happy to be here and see so many people talking about soybeans. So where I'm from, in Ontario, Canada, more soybeans are grown than any other grain crop in the province. That's 3 million acres this year alone. And I know this slide has the word future in it, but even today, soybean growers are losing yield to water deficits. Empirical studies in the past 5 years in the province have found 10 to 25% reduction in soybean yield due to water deficits. That's with no outward signs of water stress necessarily, and even in years with higher than average rainfall. So even today, soybean farmers are losing yield to water deficits. Now, given the reality and the expectation of climate change, this becomes a more pressing issue. I can't say for sure, and I don't think anyone can say for sure, that Ontario will have less rainfall in the future. But given the uncertainties of climate change, the multiplying uncertainties of climate change, it becomes a valid question to ask what will happen to soybean production in a future of less reliable soil moisture. Agronomists have studied soybean responses to water deficit extensively. There's been a lot of research on this. I'm only focusing on two responses today in my presentation, although in our lab, we're looking at a whole host of other responses. One of the most dramatic things that happened to soybeans, if I can use that word, dramatic, is that we see a huge reduction in nitrogen fixation. And that's true of all legumes. As soil moisture declines, so does nitrogen fixation. Another response that we often see is a reduction in above-ground biomass. And there's a great example here on the right-hand side. You can see a drought versus a non-drought treatment. So like I said, you might be familiar as soybean folks with responses to water deficit. You may not be familiar with the term agroforestry. It's an umbrella term that refers to any agricultural production system that incorporates trees into the production. So here we have what's called a tree-based intercrop. So you have actually rows of trees in the farm field, and in between those rows, you grow your crop. So in here, it's soybeans. Now, agroforestry systems have a host of benefits in terms of modulating the farm field microclimate. And so just an example, we see reduced wind velocity. And with reduced wind velocity, we can see a dampening or modulation of relative humidity, temperature, and also increasing soil moisture. And it's because agroforestry systems act as a buffer and dampen the effects of extreme climate on the farm field microclimate. It's thought that agroforestry systems may be advantageous in the future if climate itself becomes more extreme. We see more extremes. So this is my master's research. I had two research questions. The first, what is the impact of rainfall reduction throughout the growing season on nitrogen fixation rates and yield? And two, do tree-based intercrops modulate the impact of reduced rainfall on soybean yield and nitrogen fixation? In other words, is the effect of rainfall reduction on soybeans different in a conventional farm field as opposed to a tree-based intercrop? So my research took place at the University of Guelph Agroforestry Research Station. It's 30 hectares of both tree-based intercropping and regular farm fields. To simulate rainfall reduction in our experiment, we use these rainfall reduction shelters. This is based on a peer-reviewed design commonly used by ecologists in natural ecosystems. And it's basically just, you see these plastic acrylic troughs that channel water rainfall off of our plot. So this was a split-plot experiment, three sampling dates, one in July, one in August, and one in September of this year. We took 48 plants at each sampling date. We had 16 split plots in total. And you can see that in the agroforestry whole plot, our split plots were 2 meters away from the tree row. Under about half of our split plots, we had environmental sensors tracking a whole host of environmental data. There wasn't a big variation, except in soil moisture, which is kind of what we wanted. We can see this is over time between our rainfall treatments, volumetric soil moisture, and I'm just, these green arrows are our three sampling dates and our final yield determination in the middle of September. Now in Ontario, the second half of the growing season is critical for determining yield, and this is where water deficits have a huge impact on yield. So the second half of the growing season, very critical for farmers in Ontario. Now, to measure nitrogen fixation, we use the natural abundance method. And what that is basically, soybeans get their nitrogen from two sources. They get it from the air through fixation and through the soil nitrogen. And each of these sources have different isotopic signatures. And basically, we can actually measure these signatures. What we do is we grow soybeans in the greenhouse in a nitrogen-free solution. So they fix all their nitrogen. That's our B value. We also grow non-nodulating soybeans. They actually have no nodules, and they get all their nitrogen from the soil, and we get their isotopic ratio or their isotopic signature. And then using a simple source sink model, that's the equation you can see, we can figure out the relative contributions of nitrogen derived from air, NDFA, and soil nitrogen. So looking at our monoculture, on the y-axis we have NDFA or nitrogen derived from air. We have, in both rainfall treatments, a huge increase from July to August, and that's what we expect to see as our plants move from vegetative to reproductive stages, and then from August to September, a smaller increase. Across rainfall treatments, we did see slightly lower nitrogen fixation rates in the rainfall reduction treatment, but this was not a significant difference. In our agroforestry plot, it was a bit of a different story. We have high rates of fixation right off the bat in July, also increasing in August and September. Also similarly, across rainfall treatments, we had a small reduction in nitrogen fixation in the rainfall reduction treatment, but not a significant reduction. When we're looking at above ground shoot weight, we see a big difference between our monoculture and agroforestry plots. In monoculture, in each of our sampling dates, we do see that shoots are smaller than the full rainfall treatments, but not significantly. And there's not a clear trend in the agroforestry treatment in terms of across rainfall treatments. So we also looked at the root shoot ratio, and if you're not familiar with that, it's basically the dry weight of the roots divided by roots without the nodules, divided by the dry weight of the shoots without any reproductive tissue. And so you get a ratio between 0 and 1. And the higher that ratio is, the greater proportion of that biomass is in the roots below ground. And root-shoot ratios are used by ecologists almost as a kind of accounting statement to see where plants are investing their energy, their photosynthates. And almost forensically, ecologists use it to kind of guess which nutrients are most limiting. And so in both the monoculture and agroforestry treatments, we see that in the rainfall reduction, we have much significantly higher root-shoot ratios. And I'll just say, I forgot to mention at the beginning, when I say significant, it's at the P, 95% p-value. That's what I use. So looking at yield. In the monoculture, across rainfall treatments, we had a 24% reduction in yield, and that's significant. In the agroforestry plot, we had a 16% reduction in yield. That was not a significant reduction. If we look at our yield components, we can get a better picture of what's going on. So on the left hand, on the left side, we see the pods per plant. And in our monoculture plot, we had a significant 35% decline in pods per plant. And so the plants in the rainfall reduction treatment, they had less pods, less seeds, and consequently they invested more in every seed. And we actually had an increase in seed weight, which is on the right side, So an increase in seed weight, a significant increase. It was different in agroforestry. We had a 9% reduction in the number of pods per plant. That was not significant. And a 7% reduction in seed weight, also not significant. So in terms of my conclusions, from my previous research questions, I have three conclusions, right? The first one is in monoculture, soybean yield was reduced significantly under rainfall reduction, but this was not observed in agroforestry. Number two, soybean nitrogen fixation rate was not affected by rainfall reduction in either monoculture or agroforestry plots. And number three, yield stability in agroforestry systems is evident, suggesting that it may be a valuable adaptation measure given the uncertainties of climate change. So let me just unpack that final conclusion. So given these different environmental conditions, the rainfall treatments, yields were more stable in agroforestry. And so we can say that, you know, agroforestry systems impose a bit of certainty with regards to yield over different environmental conditions. So let me again, I figure this has got to be a hard sell, because it seems like agroforestry is a bad place to start, given how low those yields are. All I can say is this was one growing season with one set of growing conditions. And depending on how drastic changes are, depending on where we are, this property of yield stability may be beneficial for soybean production. It wasn't this year. Finally, in terms of future research, I'd say that more research is needed on soybean performance measures at a variety of water deficit intensities. Again, this was just 1 year, but it would be nice to see in years where we have lower than average rainfall, see what happens. And finally, in terms of implications for soybean farmers, getting a little bit less theoretical, in monoculture plots, we calculated a reduction of 11 kilograms of fixed nitrogen per hectare in the rainfall reduction. So that's only in the monoculture, full rainfall versus our rainfall reduction. And this alteration in farm field nitrogen cycling may have subsequent impacts on crop rotations. So with that, I'd like to conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Yeah, so that's exactly it. That's what the one kind of major downside. Without that wind, you have higher relative humidity and all these fungal diseases increase. Now, what we're actually looking at, another PhD student in the lab is looking at all the fungal communities in the soil in agroforestry and in monoculture. So that's a good question. It's being addressed.
Were the two locations fairly close to each other and under similar soils?
Oh yeah, so it was like 2 meters away. There was a 2 meter buffer between our agroforestry field and our farm field. Just like basically a road. Yeah, very close.
Is this agroforestry system very common in Ontario? And if so, what would be the motivation for farmers to use that?
So it's a broad term. The most common is windbreaks. And that's actually used in animal agriculture to channel wind so it doesn't, the smell, it's like odor, kind of odor protection. In Ontario, it remains very theoretical, tree-based intercropping. I think the last study that was done showed that 3% of farmers in the survey were interested in it. So, yeah, but this was built 30 years ago, this research station, when there was questions about the future of oil and climate change was just coming on the scene. So that's why this research station was built. Yeah, thanks. Oh, yeah, in the back. Yeah.
Every night with the rainfall produced from the devices, I know they work really well in our environment where the rainfall events are very small.
Mm-hmm.
And here, you didn't find any, you didn't have any issue with lateral rainfall or superficial rain movement.
Yeah, that's probably a problem we had because we had to actually make them taller than what ecologists use just because we didn't want soybeans to get taller than them and then there might have been some sort of weird issues. So yeah, we definitely had issues with lateral rainfall. Overall in our experiment, we saw over the whole growing season an 11% reduction in volumetric soil moisture, and normally it's much higher than that with those shelters. Yeah.
One more question related to shelters. Is there an issue with decreasing the solar radiation?
Yeah, so we measured that. there was about a 6% reduction in photosynthetically active radiation. So there are acrylic troughs, and they're acrylic because they're supposed to let as much of that light in, but there was a small reduction.
Okay.